Hi, I'm Matthew Carlock, and this is Sleep Deprived Storytime, where I talk about my incredibly exhausting yet ultimately rewarding experiences of being a parent. Let's get into it. Welcome back, friends, family, neighbors, randos on the internet. Welcome back to our thrilling conclusion of the three-part series.
So, and this feeds straight into my next question, though, which is, like, I was told the farm story.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the line. That was the family line. This dog went to a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like 8 or 9, and I was just like, oh. But like, I understood certain things. So that made sense to me, but that was my dog.
Mm-hmm.
And it was years later. I think it was like 14 when I finally, like, it clicked. I was pissed. I was super upset, mostly because I was lied to. Mm-hmm. And like, yes, I'm angry that apparently they euthanized my dog, who was older and stuff like that. But mostly it was like my family was coming on hard times and no one could accept it. And they gave it to a shelter that euthanized.
Mm.
Yeah. So it was like, I mean, I know those are all heavy topics,
right,
that as an 8-year-old would have been hard for me to get. However, because I had to put it together myself, I was pissed. Like,
yeah.
I was mad. And this kind of goes back to the first thing I was saying. There was no apology there. It was like, it happened.
Yeah.
So I was...
I think that's like completely different. Like, yes, that was a major lie because they took... Mm-hmm. Your family took your dog to the shelter, and that shelter happened to be a 30-day, you know,
kill shelter. Yeah.
You know, that's like cut you to the bone. But if your dog
right.
was sick and, you know, clearly you don't have the money to treat them, then that is not a lie. That's just giving you a place to put your grief and your dog to know that they're happy or better off now. But I can see where that one would cut you to the bone and be like, yeah. What the hell?
In that case, I would say that it's up to the parents to decide if they can talk to their child in a way to where it is more truthful rather than not. Like Lily, for instance, if we had to tell her something that was really hard, for instance, my mom passing away, she and my mom were extremely close. Even though she was, 6 years old when she passed away, I knew that I couldn't just tell her that, you know, Meemaw went to go live somewhere. You know what I mean? Because I've heard that before, not from anybody I know, but I know that it does happen. They just say, oh, they went to go live somewhere else or something like that, you know? And I knew that she could understand so much. It was going to be hard and there were definitely going to be tears, but that was the only way to get her to understand without having to one day her find out and be more heartbroken then. So I think there has to be a line that the parents draw when it comes to difficult lies or big lies, if you will. Like, is this really going to affect them later on down the line if I just rip the Band-Aid off now, but tell them in a different way to make them feel a little bit not so heartbroken, if you will?
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, yes, all of that, yes. Do you think the big lies that are being told now, like the ones that we just talked about, and going off of what you just said, Nezha, do you think that you are, as a parent, prepared for how your kid will approach you and how they'll feel once they find out that that was a lie. Like, if Ben, heaven forbid, he's super young, but let's just say he's like 5 years old. He's like, wait a minute, you abandoned me to go to the beach. And he's like looking at, you know, old Facebook posts because the world is trash and five. And
no, he won't.
He'll have toddler Facebook, toddler meta. I don't know. But like, how do you think like you'll feel as a parent that your lie could come back and bite you on the butt? Because talking with my parents and reliving that whole scenario later on, I'm like, yes, I understand why you did that. I get it. I can put all the dots. But again, when I was 14, I was pissed.
Yeah.
And I came at them with everything that I had because I was self. And like, you guys remember me at 14?
Yeah. So I try to approach it in, because Lily not necessarily has caught me in a lie, but she has caught me in anger, if you will, like where I've just been so upset at her for something that I went overboard. And then, you know, she's just, you know, I'll cool down and I will apologize to her. And I say, you know, I shouldn't have, you know, slammed that door. I shouldn't have been so angry or blah, 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 whatever it is. And we talk it out at that point. And I remember when I was a kid and I would confront my parents about something, instead of my parents being open-minded to understand where my point of view is coming from, they were very closed off, and it was their way or the highway. And I promised myself I was never going to be a parent like that. So anytime Lily has ever come up to me and said, Mom, this is how you made me feel when blah, 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 even if it wasn't about a lie, I am willing to hear her out, understand where my mistake was, because they're intuitive kids, you know, and their opinion and their thoughts matter. So if they were to ever come up to me to call me out on something, and I've already had that experience, I'm right there to say, you know what, you're right, I am sorry, and how can we talk this out? And I've told her over and over again, if you ever need to come to me about anything, no matter what it is, come to me. And she has, and we have that trust, that bond, which I'm so thankful that I have that with her, because I didn't have that with my parents, not until much later as an adult. Did I say something wrong?
No, I don't have anything to add to that.
It was very well said, Nessa.
Okay.
No, I was waiting for Becca to chime in, because you guys usually go back and forth, and Becca's, she's hiding in a closet again or something.
Yeah. No, I'm hiding in the back bedroom. Aw, don't get me started on that kid. You know, I have to say, because, you know, Reese has caught me in a lie here and there in time or two, and I have told him flat out. And again, I can't describe my parenting. I really can't. when he has caught me in a lie, depending on what it is, I have sat him down for the most part and have, you know, looked at him and said, well, here's what you need to understand. I'm the adult. You are the child. And at that moment, you didn't either, A, need to know the truth, because it wasn't going to help you in any way, shape, or form. It was only going to hurt you. Or, you know, I'll say, well, you know, A and B couldn't happen because of C. So we had to stay mum on it. We couldn't say what was happening, because it's not nice, or it's not our place to open that door. Or there are sometimes when you don't seem to think you need to think your words through, or you need to take time to stop before you answer, which is why I have lied to you and I have told you, oh, it was this way versus that way, or this is the reason why you couldn't go there.
Mm-hmm.
but I mean, I don't know. I also can't help but think that I'm probably going to laugh at him when he's 15 and he tells me, I can't believe you told me this lie for so many years. And I'm just going to be like, well, son. Bada bing, bada boom, now you know. But that's also, I think, too, because my kids are so damn... I created evil geniuses. I mean,
well, I mean, I love the videos you're sending of them. I can't wait, and I hope that my two boys are like at least half as ridiculous as yours.
Oh, they will be.
Well, you know what? A lot of it too is I don't in any way, shape, or form. And my aunt tells me this all the time. I don't help for the most part. I don't helicopter parent. I can't. You know, I had told Brace not to do something. I'll tell him two, maybe three times. It's kind of like, you know, that old baseball adage, three strikes, you're out. You know, and if he hasn't figured it out by then sure, go run into that. Go run face first into that wall and see what happens. It's going to hurt. And then when you come back and tell me that it hurts and you're crying, you're not going to get much sympathy from me because I told you it's going to hurt, but you had to do cause and effect for yourself.
Yeah.
But I'm
very doing a lot of that right now with Malcolm and his running up and down our concrete beveled, you know, terrible driveway, and he just runs down in rain boots, and I'm just oh, he made it, thank God.
You know, I will say one of the best lies to tell kids though is when they say, hey, where did you get that cookie? Oh, I'm sorry kids, it was the last one, and you've got a whole box hidden somewhere.
Oh yeah.
See, my lies are lies of omission because when I want something, I take it to work.
Yeah, there you go.
Like all the stuff that I tell them they can't have is in my desk.
Nice.
At work. I go on my lunch break and I go grocery shopping for the things that they want, but I'm like, nope, can't have that. Nope, too much sugar. And it goes into my desk at work.
My whole thing is I like to play dumb. Like he'll hear, they hear the crinkle wrapper. From like the other side of the house, they come running. He's like, "What was that?" I have no idea. And my mouth is like stuck because of caramel and peanut butter. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Or the Halloween candy. Oh no, that's old now. You can't have that. It's gross.
Yep,
it's past its expiration date. Mm-hmm. That's like the biggest lie that I tell them anytime.
Yes.
That like, you know, can I have that? No, it's past its expiration date. It's got to be tossed.
Yep. And now I think those are just for us just like being shitty. I'm going to try and bleep that part out, but I really think it's just us knowing that we're being jerks. And
but that's okay.
It's okay. I do the same thing. It's not a blame thing. It's just like I recognize what I'm doing. I know I'm being sarcastic and I'm like, "Nah, kid, you can't eat this. This is not for you," and he'll like agree, but I'm very well aware of the fact that that was a terrible lie, but I don't care.
And I
think it's funny.
Well, and I have this, like, I think that's too, like, a lot of my other, like, you know, I'll sit there and tell, because, well, yes, I do have Spider-Man downloaded onto my phone to where, like, you know, Reese and Arden could watch it at the doctor's office or, you know, at the dinner table or what have you. But I choose to tell them no, because we don't have any Wi-Fi. I can't turn it on. Even though
I say my battery's dead.
But I think, too, for instance, earlier this week when James told the lie of I was licking toads and that's how I caught COVID. And he has Arden convinced of that. And, you know.
And he's going to go to preschool, and now that's going to turn into a thing.
I pulled Ray some doozies of, you know, lies about his dad. And I honestly think in some ways that such that terrible, clearly any adult would know that's such a bad lie. But a kid, you know, it's information and they're going to run with it.
Yeah.
It truly makes for interesting stories. Cause again, you know, the same story that you hear 85 times in one day. Mm-hmm. And mind you, in that one day there has been 8 hours of school and there's only, you know, like 4 hours that you actually spend with them in the evening that they can tell that story to you 85 times. It has made research stories quite interesting. Cause if you ask him, he is a BMX motocross back flipping headstanding parkour awesome stunt driver.
Slash ninja.
Yeah, slash ninja.
But on the flip side of that too, you know, I have to tell every teacher, every new camp counselor when he sits there and says, oh yeah, my dad took me for a ride on a fire truck today, or my dad took me out in a Bugatti, or yeah, I've driven a Ferrari. I rode around in a Ferrari. I have to sit there and tell them, if it's a car, it happened.
Yeah.
I have had to tell his teachers that time and time and again, because I have gotten, you know, he's really telling some stories, and it's like, there for a little while, like all of his imaginary friends lived on a farm. Aww. So I would have to sit there and tell his teachers, okay, if it's anything about a car, if it's a fire truck, if it's this trike, if it's this, if it's that, it happened. If it happened on the farm, that's imaginary.
That's pretty interesting.
And the looks I get, and then the following day, you know, they'll say, oh yeah, he was telling me about, you know, the fire truck and climbing to the top of it, and my dad raised the ladder for me, but he wouldn't let me go up it. Yeah, that happened yesterday. I've got pictures. You want to see? Or there he is sitting in a Bugatti.
I saw it and I said yes. Mm-hmm. Keep going. You guys are funny.
But you know, I've come to find that he's got a touch of the dramatics like his dad does. But, you know, the sillier we make our lies, the sillier mm-hmm. his imagination takes his own created stories and lies that
I do. I don't know. It's kind of a
good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah, I enjoy that very much. Like the whole premise of this podcast is like me telling Malcolm stories that I just make up. And now I'm starting to see that with him. Like I'll be like, hey Malcolm, tell Fritz a story, and he will just like go off on it on some kind of, like, he'll pick up a toy and he'll be like, this is a dragon, and the dragon said, and I'm just like, keep going, kid.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's like Calvin, you know, he would just make up stuff right on the spot. And I think that's one of the reasons I related so much to those stories as a kid. Is all that, and now as an adult, is his parents I actually relate to also, you know, them trying to make him eat. They told him lies and said that, yeah. Oh yeah, this food is radioactive, and he ate.
I mean, it came from a microwave. It's technically radioactive.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we tell the kids that, like, hey, just pretend you're a dinosaur, a brachiosaurus, and eat your trees and their broccoli, you know?
Yeah. all right. I'm hearing the 3-month-old scream bloody murder.
Uh-oh.
It's my turn, and I'm down here, so I'm going to... Oh, I gotta go. Okay. All right. Let's say bye bye, everyone. This was fun. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Yeah, you're quite welcome.
All right. Please keep lying to your friends. Keep lying to your not your friends. Keep lying to your kids. And until next time, get some sleep.
Out of the water.
Okie dokie. Captain Pegleg. Malcolm was sailing on his ship. What would you name your ship?
Lots of pirates in his story.
Okay, I'll try, but what do you want your ship to be named?
The magical ship.
Ah, okay. Pegleg Malcolm and the magical ship, his pirate ship.
or sailing across the sea, exploring the many wonders that the ocean had, when suddenly a giant sea monster poked its head above the water with a loud roar and gasp. Most of the pirates on this ship trembled in fear at the sight of the mighty creature as it gave its terrible roars. But Pegleg Malcolm said, "Hold fast, ye scurvy dogs. You sea monster, if you don't get out of our way, I'm gonna have to mow you down." The sea creature looked down with its giant head that was almost the size of the entire ship. And then it gave a great big sneeze. Toof! Sea monster boogers got all over Pegleg Malcolm and his crew. Yuck! They yelled. "I'm sorry," said the sea monster. "I had the sneeze. Take cover," yelled Pegleg Malcolm. Tchungo! More sea monster boogers splattered all over the magic ship. The sea monster sniffled and said, "Sorry, I seem to have a cold." Pegleg Malcolm looked from his hiding place and said, "Yar, that be one terrible cold ye have there, matey. Where did you get it? And why don't you cover your nose when you sneeze so you don't get it all over us?" "I would, but I don't have any hands. Turn your head!" And the boogers flew out of the sea monster's mouth and nose, splattering all over the ocean. Great green globs of it floating on the water surface. Some of Pegleg Malcolm's crew was still stuck in the boogers, unable to get free from all the slimy, gooey gunk. "Yar, do you think you can help me and my mates out?" And the sea monster said, "Right," and used a big long tail and splashed a big wave of water over the boat, cleaning most of the crew off. "Yar, thank ye. Because ye helped us out, I'm gonna help ye out. I think what you need is a big hanky. Get the spare sail." Several pirates ran down below deck and came up with a large white cloth. "There, now you can sneeze into this."
"But I haven't have any hands," yelled the sea monster, desperately trying to hold in another sneeze.
"Use your tail, grab it with your tail." The sea monster reached out, grabbed the spare sail with his tail and held it over his nose. It made a really loud noise as he blew his nose into it, but no boogers flew everywhere.
"Gee, thanks,
but it doesn't really solve my cold problem." "No, but it keeps us dry," said Pegleg Malcolm. "The best remedy I know for a cold is some hot water and lemon and a dash of coconut milk."
"What's lemon?" said the sea monster.
"Oh, it's a very sour fruit, but we would need a lot for you." "Can you take us to Lemon Island real quick?"
"Lemon Island? Where's the..."
"Use the hanky!
Thanks. Where's Lemon Island?"
"Oh, silly me, I forgot," said Pegleg Malcolm. "We have a magic ship. Magic ship
He tapped it with his peg leg. Take us and the sea dragon here to Lemon Island. Suddenly the sails unfurled. The wind picked up and the boat flew into the air, spinning in circles, picking up the dragon with it and then disappearing in a blink before reappearing again and crashing down into the water. Lemon Island was a big deserted island in the shape of a lemon. That's what he called it. With nothing but lemon trees all over, the captain and his pirates spent half the day harvesting lemons and squeezing them into a goblet big enough for the dragon. Then they built a fire and boiled as much water as they could and mixed it with the lemon juice. Then they found some coconuts on a nearby coconut island, which was in the shape of a coconut, and cracked that in. The giant concoction was very large, held, and it was about 10 feet by 10 feet. The dragon had just been sitting there sneezing all day. When it was finally done, the dragon went over, used its tail, lifted the beverage to its mouth, and drank the whole thing in one big gulp. "Hey, not bad," said the dragon. "Do you think you can make more?" "Ah, sure," said the captain. "Only with this one, maybe we'll drink it a little slower." They spent half the night, the rest of the day and half the night, harvesting more lemons, boiling more water, getting more coconut, and then pacing the dragon, sea serpent, as he drank that concoction little by little. But by morning, he was breathing fine and steady and felt very, very good. "Thank you so much," said the sea dragon. "I owe you a lot for the handkerchief and the cold remedy. Yar, think nothing of it. Unless, of course, you know where there's buried treasure left." And then he left along with all his pirates. "Actually," said the sea serpent, "I am a magical serpent." And he jumped into the air, creating a huge rainbow. "If you can soar over the rainbow, it'll take you to a small island where there's lots of gold just for being kind and helping." "Magic boat," cried Captain Malcolm. "Fly over that rainbow to the island with gold." And it flew into the air, sails billowing, spinning around, and then sailing over the rainbow, following the dragon's trail, and crashing into the water at the other end, where a great big, a small island, just about the size of the boat, sat, but a huge treasure chest opened, filled with gold and jewels and doubloons, making Captain Pegleg Malcolm very happy, and the same with the rest of his crew. The end.
Did he have a smile?
Yes, a big smile. Just like that. Just like your smile.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, please like, share, review, do the social media thing. A big shout out to my friend Albert Maldonado for engineering the sound to perfection. If you'd like to follow me on social media, you can follow me on Instagram at KCLORACM, that's Colrac M, or on Twitter at Colrac, KCLORAC. Thanks. See you next time.